welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. I'm your host, Dave Custy, and my guest today is Laurie Schwartz. Laurie Schwartz is the president of the Waterfront Partnership of Baltimore, an organization she helped start with area business leaders in October of 2005. A seasoned executive and business leader with over 30 years of experience in strategic planning and urban development, Laurie has held a number of high-profile positions, including Deputy Mayor for Economic and Neighborhood Development with Mayor O'Malley, Founding President and CEO of the Downtown Partnership of Baltimore, and Chair of the International Downtown Association. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, Laurie.
Great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a short bio in your own words.
Well, I came to Baltimore originally to go to graduate school at University of Maryland and never expected to stay. But it was during the William Donner Schaefer era, and it was a very exciting time to be in Baltimore. And so I decided to stay for a while, and here I am 30-odd years later, still loving Baltimore.
So tell me a little bit about your work from startup to present. How did you get to your position today?
Well, I started out by volunteering. I was still in graduate school in between my first and second years, and I decided that rather than taking a waitress job or something just to earn a little bit of money, which was important, that I should instead start building the bricks toward my longer-term career. And so I looked around, and the work that was going on in the city was very exciting. And so I did try to get a job at the city housing department, and this was a time when Bob Embry was the commissioner and Jay Brody was deputy commissioner, so it was a very exciting time with Schaefer as mayor. And they didn't have any openings, so I decided I would volunteer just to get some good work experience. And after working for a couple months, they offered me a full-time job. So right. I started out working with the city during a period when the harbor was being redeveloped, when neighborhoods like Washington Hill were being rehabilitated, and there was federal funding flowing to cities unlike today. And from there, I took a number of different steps. I tried the private sector and decided I liked more of a career that balanced the two. It wasn't 100% in the private sector, wasn't 100% in the public sector, but working with both. And so that's what I did with Downtown Partnership, and I'm now doing with Waterfront Partnership, and I've helped start other groups like the East Baltimore Development Corporation that's doing such good work now north of Hopkins Hospital.
Well, let's go back a little. Tell me some of the projects that you were especially proud of working with Mayor Schaefer.
Well, at the time when I worked in the city housing department and Schaefer was mayor, I worked in a number of neighborhoods in East Baltimore, like the Oliver neighborhood and the Middle East neighborhood, which is now dubbed East Baltimore, New East Baltimore. And specifically in Oliver, shifting into the time when Dew Burns was mayor, after Schaefer went on to be governor, I helped with the rehabilitation, help coordinate the rehabilitation and opening of the Oliver Multipurpose Center on Harford Road. That was so rewarding because the neighborhood saw it as a place where the neighborhood could come together and convene. There could be classes for kids and a library and a place where, a safe place where folks could come together right. and appreciate their neighborhood and receive city services.
That's one of the foundations of building a neighborhood, I think, is to have a really good community center like that.
It's very important.
Yeah.
It's very important. And so that was one of the projects that I really enjoyed a lot. And then I also worked in the neighborhoods of Federal Hill and Fells Point. Folks may remember that those neighborhoods saw a lot of condemnation because a highway was proposed at one point to go through the neighborhood.
All right.
And so I was part of the staff for a group that recommended the disposition of the city-owned houses. And these city-owned houses, the focus was on Fells Point at the time. There were 100 city-owned houses that had been condemned for the highway, and they sat for a very long time. But
was that around the Dollar House time?
That was before, as I recall. It wasn't connected to the Dollar House program. I can't place the years, to be honest, between the dollar program and the 100 houses in Fells Point. But there needed to be a decision made about how those houses would be disposed of. And so Commissioner Embry put together a high-level task force, and I was one of two people staffing that task force. So that was a very exciting time to consider how those houses should be released and what the conditions should be. And so now you walk through Fells Point, you would never know that there were 100 houses that were vacant and blighted for so long.
So are we talking about the late 70s here then, just a ballpark?
Exactly.
Right, because that's when I started paying attention to Fells Point, when a friend of mine bought a house down here on Gulf Street at 79, and you know, I remember that. I had a house up on Pratt Street in mid-80s to 2000, and it was between Washington and Wolf, so it was still considered an urban renewal area there at that time. And it was a bit rough, but it was really, it was starting to come up, and it was starting to, people were starting to gentrify upwards toward there, and now it's really just amazing.
It is amazing.
It is,
Upper Fells Point, Washington Hill.
Yeah, it is. It's just really a wonderful house. And then these old houses, too. I had a 100-year-old house that a captain built, you know, 18 feet wide, 2,000 square feet. It was really amazing to, you know, to see these houses all around here. They're just wonderful architecture in Baltimore.
It's part of our unique history. You know, really, Fells Point, where Baltimore began, is just a wonderful place. And fortunately, it has remained that unique and special historic area.
So is there any other projects up to now that you are especially proud of that stay in your mind?
Well, when I started working, first it was along Charles Street. There was a group that was, the first group that was created was called the Charles Street Management Corporation in the mid-80s. And in the early 90s, it expanded downtown-wide and changed the name to Downtown Partnership. And but at that time, we kept a focus on Charles Street as kind of the Fifth Avenue of Baltimore.
Right.
And we implemented a number of retail programs to attract small retailers to Charles Street, especially the area just below the Washington Monument. Because, again, it's such a unique, historic, and attractive area. And we had a whole cluster of unique specialty shops and galleries south of the monument for a period of time. And so that was a very special time, and I really enjoyed that work as well, working with entrepreneurs. And it was just such a hopeful time along Charles Street.
What about right now? What's the Waterfront Partnership's primary concern right now?
Well, over the last several months, we started looking at the longer-term future of the Inner Harbor, and so many Baltimoreans take the Inner Harbor for granted. Others still remember when it was vacant and abandoned warehouses that filled the Inner Harbor, but today it's so different from that. And yet the redevelopment of the Inner Harbor took place over 40 years ago. The waterfront promenade, the brick area that lines the harbor, and many of the attractions are 40-odd years old. And so just like any major attraction or destination, the area has to be kept fresh and vital and attractive. And so working with the city, we first had the city proceed with what's called a state of good repair study that Department of Transportation hired an engineering firm to evaluate the entire infrastructure so it could see what the conditions were underground. And then in February, Waterfront Partnership and Greater Baltimore Committee agreed to fund a new master plan for the harbor, working closely with city government. That plan, which is called Inner Harbor 2.0, was released just 2 weeks ago with Mayor Rawlings Blake at the Visitor Center, and it's posted on our website, which we'll give the URL in a few minutes and probably post it on your website.
Right, there'll be a link to it.
Good. So we released a plan, and we've been getting just terrific compliments on it and feedback that's very positive. There have been some questions about it, which is very helpful as well to have a public debate. But overwhelmingly, there's been support for the plan and for moving ahead with many of the recommendations, which include more green space and more parks and playgrounds. We aim to create a fresher harbor, bring more tourists back, but are really focused on creating a harbor where locals want to come and spend a day and spend an evening and an afternoon and bring their kids. And what that means is that we really need to provide amenities and attractions that are free or very low cost. So the aim of the harbor plan is to create those kinds of experiences, like I said, with parks and playgrounds and water features. So our focus right now is aimed at implementing that plan, helping to put together cost estimates and seek funding. We were really pleased that the mayor asked the governor as one of her priorities for the upcoming General Assembly for $9 million in funding from the Inner Harbor from the state. And we're hoping that Governor O'Malley will put that in his state capital budget for the coming year. And we're also working with the city planning department to find various pots within the city of funding that can be used for implementation of this plan.
We're talking in terms of demographics. We're talking from, what I read was the Bond Street Wharf over to where were we talking?
To the Rusty Scupper.
To the Rusty Scupper, right.
That's the area of the entire plan. The focus is really on the Inner Harbor, which is the area that's 40 years old.
There's a couple bullet points if you tap into that, just on the to go into detail. It says be authentic to Baltimore and Maryland. What do you mean by that?
Well, that goes to having unique attractions and features. Like one of the recommendations is to have a Chesapeake Bay Marine and Wildlife Education Center. Chesapeake Bay is, you know, a unique asset that we have in this region. And many people think of the Chesapeake Bay as being down on the Eastern Shore. And so we want to make sure Baltimoreans recognize the value of the Chesapeake Bay as well. So, you know, you wouldn't see a Chesapeake Bay Center in California or in Canada or anywhere else in the world. It's unique to Baltimore and Maryland.
There's a lot of things that are unique to Baltimore and Maryland. I'm trying to point that out myself with my broadcasts. But the history of and pride of the Inner Harbor, you mentioned briefly before that it was docks, and remember when the stevedores and all like that. I think it would be great to have some kind of historical accounting of that, too.
We would like to do that, and we've talked about a number of ways. We don't have a specific plan yet, but we have a number of ideas that are percolating, whether it would be something online or through what's called interpretive signs at the harbor, where from different perspectives, if someone is standing by the Rusty Scupper looking across to the North Shore, there might be photographs of what you would have looked at 60 years ago or 100 years ago, standing on a different place in the Inner Harbor looking out, you'd see a different perspective. So we're talking about ways to connect people more with the history of the harbor because, you know, the harbor has always been at the center of commerce for Baltimore.
Right.
But it was a shipbuilding center. That's very different than today. And it was a center, kind of a port with ships coming in and unloading and then transporting them. That's very different from today. And so people who are, you know, under 40 years old or so, or even 50 because they were so young when the harbor opened, they don't remember naturally what the harbor was like. Oh. And so we're very interested in finding ways to share with the public what our history was and bring it to life.
Also, what I would like to do in terms of that is the connectivity worldwide that we could have. I mean, there's plenty of Baltimoreans that don't live in Baltimore anymore, and they're all over the globe. Not to mention other cities that were similar to us. Like, I just spent the last 10 years up to last year living in Belfast in Northern Ireland. And they had a big shipyard there in the 1930s. There were 30,000 people working there. And it's just kind of like Bethlehem Steel. And that's where the Titanic was built. They have a Titanic museum now. They're doing a lot of different historical events, too. I would like to not necessarily partner with them, but kind of have a live forums when my company progresses, and that maybe you'll be involved in that. Maybe Waterfront Partnership will be, and all the heritage organizations in Baltimore. That's what I would really like to bring up.
That sounds wonderful, and we'd love to work with you on it.
Terrific. You say build on the strengths of National Aquarium and Maryland Science Center. Go in a little detail about that.
Well, the Science Center and National Aquarium are anchors for the harbor. Just like a mall has anchors of large department stores, our anchors are the National Aquarium and the Science Center. And yet they're singular institutions that sit on the inner harbor. So recognizing that there's such attractions and that so many people come to the harbor because of the Science Center or because of the aquarium, we'd like to create environments around them that build off their unique strengths. So, for example, on the South Shore where the Science Center is, one of the recommendations is to rebuild Resch Field into a beautiful destination park with playgrounds and parks and water features. Also recommended is the creation of some kind of discovery zone, an educational playground or interactive park where children or adults can learn about various things, whether it's the environment or water quality or energy, and that would play off the kind of discovery and education that occurs inside the Science Center. So we think that we can build on the number of people that come to the Science Center. We think we can help increase the number of people that would be attracted by having complementary activities outside the Science Center. Similarly, I talked a few minutes ago about the Chesapeake Bay Education Center. That's proposed on a grassy area next to the National Aquarium. Again, we could create an even bigger cluster of activity around maritime education, around conservation and water quality education near the National Aquarium.
You touched on something which I think is pretty vital in terms of developing a city, the Inner Harbor being an anchor, and that is getting locals down on a regular basis. And also the surrounding neighborhoods, too, that they get developed.
Well, we're so lucky that we have terrific neighborhoods throughout Baltimore. And over the last 2 years, we've especially increased the number of events that we create at the harbor on Friday nights in the summer and on Saturday and Sundays in the warmer months. And we have folks from all over Baltimore, as well as some of the surrounding counties, come to those events. So we're always trying to find ways for Baltimoreans to enjoy the harbor. Because of the waterfront development, starting with the Inner Harbor, there's been a lot of residential development around the waterfront. Many condominiums are built along the water in Canton and in Locust Point. And the neighborhoods adjacent to the water, not just those homes facing the water, have increased in their attraction as well. Federal Hill, Locust Point, Canton, Brewers Hill, even Highland Town and South Baltimore are more attractive today because of the redevelopment of the waterfront and people's value for the water as a place for recreation and enjoyment, not just for industry. So we've really seen an increase in the number of residents living around the waterfront, and we'd like to make changes at the harbor that make it a place for recreation for all of those people living, not just citywide. We certainly want that, especially some of the people living around the waterfront. Their houses are generally pretty small. They have small backyards. And we're seeing more and more families. There's a whole organization, the Downtown Baltimore Family Alliance, that was created to help support families that have decided to buy a home and have a family and raise their family in the city, not just move when their kids are toddlers or ready for school. So that's a really welcome addition to the waterfront, as well as all the Class B buildings, office buildings in downtown that are being converted to residential. We've talked to some of the developers, and they see the Inner Harbor as a place where their residents are going to jog and run and sunbathe on a Sunday and uses their park. So that's just terrific news.
I understand they're going to have more parks and more places to walk in, which is attractive for the locals, but also for tourists. Tourists love to walk around on their own and explore.
Exactly.
So they can explore all the way down, hopefully all the way down where I am here, Fells Point, and down to Canton and all. It's funny that you mentioned, too, about the families living here. I have a show called Urban Mom where a local mother here talks about raising kids in the city. It's very interesting that you mentioned that.
One of the things we heard in our focus groups that we had with so many different people to help feed ideas and inspiration for the plan, one of the groups that we had was with moms who live around the waterfront and are raising their kids here, and they said we really need playgrounds for older children,
right,
not just toddlers. And that was such a welcome thing to hear, that people really are staying and raising their kids here, and they need activities for them. They're not leaving when they're ready for school like was so frequent.
Oh, yeah,
before,
yeah.
So.
Well, when they just had kids, you know, and leave the city when they had children.
Exactly.
Because now if you took, like, at places like Patterson Park, on any given weekend, there's tons of kids all around, which is terrific. You know?
It's wonderful
it
for
really
the city.
Is there anything else you would like to talk about in terms of what's going on right now? This is just a introductory show right now. We're going to hopefully develop it and have an ongoing program here.
The only other thing I'd want to add is that a major part of the plan is something that we started, an initiative we started several years ago called Healthy Harbor, and that's geared toward creating a body of water in our harbor that is swimmable and fishable. And people laugh at that notion, but, you know, 50, 60 years ago, people laughed at the notion that tourists would ever want to come to Baltimore. So we know it's possible. We've seen other communities, like the Charles River is one good example, up in Boston, that was heavily polluted and is now clean enough that people swim in the Charles River. And so we've been committed to cleaning the water and have worked closely with lots of groups like Blue Water Baltimore and the city government, and progress is being made. Many of the elements of the plan include recommendations of ways that we can help get people onto the water in a more personal way, not just on a cruise boat, but on a kayak, which brings you right down to the water level. And so I hope that, you know, people will recognize the importance of clean water and go on our website and find out ways that they can help contribute to cleaning up our harbor.
I just read that you hope to get it done by 2020, possibly.
We've got an ambitious goal.
That's great. It's only 7 years away.
Yeah, we know it's coming up, but, you know, it may not happen by 2020, but you've got to have an ambitious goal.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a report card that we issue every year now based on science and monitoring that Blue Water Baltimore does for us. So we're keeping our eye on the ball, and we've gone in just the last couple of years from an F to a C-. So progress
All
is
right.
being made, and that's what's important.
Very good. Wouldn't it be great one day if you get up in the morning and then somebody says, where are you going today, Laurie? And you say, well, I'm going to Inner Harbor Beach. You just sit on the beach all day, right by the water.
And take a dip in the water.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Thank you very much for coming on Baltimore Internet Radio. Why don't you give us some contact info?
Sure. If people want to contact me directly, my email address is Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, at waterfrontpartnership.org, all one word, and our website is waterfrontpartnership.org. So I'm hoping that people will come. They can comment on the plan. If they want to go on our website and click on to the Inner Harbor Plan, people can read the entire plan, and then we have a blog online that people can enter their comments in. So we would welcome their comments.
Well, that's great. Well, in subsequent shows, we can have some forums and have people call in and say what they think of it, and then we have people at the Waterfront Partnership and other like-minded individuals and organizations in Baltimore on. What do you think?
We'd welcome that opportunity.
Very good. I want to thank Laurie Schwartz, the president of the Waterfront Partnership of Baltimore. You're listening to Baltimore Internet Radio, and I'm your host, Dave Custy. Thank you.